Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
David Mack was an LAPD officer who had once been a world-class track athlete. In fact, he was number one rated 800-meter runner in the world, and right before the 84 Olympics, hurt his leg, was persuaded to join the LAPD, and had a pretty impressive police career, it seemed, until he was arrested for one of the biggest bank robberies in LA history, which he was caught on film committing. And after that, it came out very quickly that he was a member of the Bloods gang, mm-hmm. was a member of the Nation of Islam, which he proclaimed both those things immediately after his arrest to other inmates and to the cops as well, and had this connection to Death Row Records,
right.
Which really was something he grew up with because he and Suge Knight grew up in the same neighborhood. When he was arrested for the bank robbery, got a lot of clues that linked David Mack to Biggie's murder and linked a civilian associate of David Mack's as well.
He's ruthless, man. What did he get nailed for while at Rampart? Nothing. The bank robbery. We know for a fact there were other people involved in that bank robbery. That guy kept his mouth quiet. He never cooperated. He never admitted it. And he went to trial. And he did his 14 years or whatever in federal prison. And they never found the money. I mean, that tells you the mental makeup of that guy. He's capable of anything.
As we ended production of season one of The Dossier, I had begun a quest to track down the alleged co-conspirators of the plot to murder Biggie, notorious ex-LAPD officers Rafael Perez and David Mack. After being unable to locate Perez, who now goes by the name Ray Lopez, I wasn't feeling all that confident about my chances of getting Mack on the phone. I dialed the first of a few possible phone numbers that I tracked down for David.
Hello?
Is David Mack there?
Yeah, this is David.
How are you, sir? My name is Don Sikorsky. I'm a television producer in New York City.
Okay, Don, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I was curious, you know, I know you worked for the LAPD and have a tremendous story. I'm wondering if you would ever decide to tell it in a television show or a book.
More in the book.
Are you working on a book?
No, but see, there's one version now, but it's more on athletics, about a personal friendship that a person had with me.
Uh-huh, with your time at the Oregon Athletics, when you ran track, when you ran track.
Yeah.
And so
it's not the stuff you're interested in.
You wouldn't be interested in telling your story on a platform or on a TV series. You'd be more interested in a book.
Well, I'm not saying no.
I see. It would have to be what the deal was.
There you go. Of course.
And have people approached you in the past?
Yeah.
And you've turned everyone down?
More or less, yeah. I mean, that's why we're here now.
Yeah, and is that because it all came down to money? The deal was not, or they just weren't serious enough?
A combination of the both. Control. Just a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Put your cards on the table, and I'll bet what you have, and come to the table.
And as far as the stuff that went on at the LAPD, are you willing to go down that road and talk about that stuff? Is there anything that prevents you from talking about that stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We had to explore that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? I'll put an email together with what I'm thinking, and we can go from there. How about that?
I like that. Let's start a dialogue.
Okay, David. Thank you.
As I hung up the phone, so many thoughts raced through my head. I have to admit, even in that brief initial phone call, his charisma was evident. It was easy to see how this man became one of the ringleaders of the criminal activity inside the LAPD that ended with a takeover-style bank robbery like the Michael Mann movie Heat. David Mack, for 20 years, has been an enigma. While Mack is much older than he was during his criminal heyday, statements from many of those questioned about Mack also ran through my head. Nino Durden, a cop he worked with, when questioned by FBI agent Phil Carson, stated simply, "You don't fuck with Mack." Hardened gangsters inside federal pens told investigators that they wanted no part of going against Mack, with one telling them, "Yeah, prison is a long time, but dead is forever." I needed some advice on my next step, so minutes after I got off the phone with Mack, I called Phil Carson.
"Hey, buddy.
David Mack actually talked with you, huh?"
"Yeah, for 10 minutes.
"Wow.
Is that
it? What do you have to say?"
"You know, so you can tell me if you agree with how I played it, because I felt playing it the other way would have just got the phone hung up on my face, you know? So I wanted to get as much audio as possible on him."
"Uh-huh."
"So basically, I never in a million years thought he was going to, that he was going to answer the fucking phone, or that is actually..."
I would agree, yeah.
"Right? So the fucking second ring, he picks up, and I'm like, is David Mack there?" And like, "This is him." And I said, "Is this the David Mack that previously worked at the LAPD? And he was like, "Yeah." And I said, "You know, I'm a TV producer based out of New York City." And I said, "You know, I'm curious if you have ever thought about your story as it relates, you know, to your time at the LAPD, if you've ever thought about doing a movie or a TV show or a book." And I said, "Well, is there anything that's preventing you from telling your story as it relates to what happened at the LAPD?" And he kind of paused and he was like, "No." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Have you ever been contacted before as it relates to telling your story?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what happened, you know, in that process?" I said, was it money? Was it, you know, people weren't serious?" And he said, "You know, it was a little bit of both." I said something like, "You know, well, if, you know, would you be interested?" And he kind of laughed and he was like, "Well, that's why I'm talking to you." So at that point, what I said is I said, "You know," I asked him again, I'm like, "You're sure that, you know, you can talk about your time at the LAPD? And he reassured me, "Yeah." And I said, "All right, well, you know, I read him his email, right? And he sounded surprised that I had his email address too, along with his number. So I said, I'm going to send you an email." And he said, "Okay, well, why don't we get a dialogue going?" And I said, "Well, I'll send you an email and we can talk." Now, here's the thing. I feel like if I bombarded him with the obvious, he's going to hang up in my face, you know?
I think you handled it perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, the question then becomes, you know, what would get this guy to talk? And here's the thing that I find fascinating. Was he ever charged with anything in Rampart?
No, nobody was.
So he can talk about all of the ramp. He can talk about the bank robbery because it's fucking adjudicated. And you would hope that in talking about that stuff, that he then would go on the record about the Biggie shit. You know what I mean?
Well, I think two things are going to happen. One is, when you send him an email, common sense tells me he's going to Google your name.
Well, yes, that's that.
Once that happens, he's going to realize you're the guy doing the dossier and you know, all that, because there'll be probably a million stories and this and that that come up on all that. And so it probably will take him a little bit of time and he'll listen. But I'll tell you what, Don, when I talked to him, he was so engaging and so sadistic at the same time. And he was just kind of like laughing and joking around. And I'll remember this the day I die. I finally looked at him. I said, you're wasting your fucking time. You're wasting my fucking time. I almost got pissed at him but at the same time realizing, don't get him too mad, because at some point this guy's getting out of prison and I don't want him coming fucking looking for me. And so
that's actually the vibe you got from him, huh?
100%. And then I had another agent who was from the local office, and I got up and I said, I'm fucking out of here. And then he goes, no, man, I'm sorry. He goes, let's go ahead and sit down. Let's go ahead and talk and stuff. And by the way, I have that. That's all written up in my 302 of his.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sat back down and we talked. And I could tell at that point, he wasn't going to give me a thing. He just wanted somebody to talk to now. Like, it was eating him up, but at the same time, he felt like he was, like, being able to play me, and it's just, that guy's got the devil written all over him. And I thought at this point, okay, two things. One is, I don't want this guy coming after me and killing me someday, so I'm going to make sure I talk sports now with him and just like engage with him like I'm a friend. But I'll tell you, man, that guy, he has got the fucking devil in him, and he is a sociopath from the word go. So I'm just kind of wondering if he'll probably engage with you in conversation, and he'll be using that to try to pry information or trying to find all about you, which is fine. But I'm just curious on how he's going to react when he finds out who you actually are.
Yeah, it's funny, right? I thought about that a lot. And, you know, I guess if you Google my name, you're obviously going to see a lot of stuff, right?
But I would just think that with all the stuff that you've done and all the success, that the biggie thing's going to be popping up everywhere along with everything else.
Sure, but if I how about this? Like, he's so arrogant. Maybe that if I'm saying to him, hey, there's a deal to be made here.
Yeah,
and he smells money or whatever. Maybe he's that arrogant that he feels like he can play the system.
100% agree with that.
Right?
Not only does he probably think he can, there wouldn't even be a doubt in his mind, and he would be beyond arrogant to think that he could do that. That's the feeling that I get from him, that I got from him, that
yeah.
You want to talk about somebody that's walking around that thinks they're 100% untouchable, it's him. Talk,
yeah.
You know what? Maybe engage in the Rampart stuff and even talk to him about his relationship with Perez and the fact that, you know, he shot somebody that was about ready to shoot and kill Perez. And that's why Perez is so indebted to him and will basically take anything to the grave and never dime out Mac on anything.
It's pretty
all
interesting.
Right. Oh, interesting, man.
Well, we got at least 7 minutes of audio with Dave and Mac, which I never thought we'd fucking have.
No, that's 7 minutes more than I thought you'd get. You know what, Don? It's worth trying to engage in a conversation with him, because
it's worth playing it out. Yeah, it's worth.
Absolutely, there's no downside.
Yeah,
you got his ear, so I mean that's a big plus right there. That's a good catch.
Yeah, I'm gonna just go and write an email because it's just fresh in my mind right now, and I'll call you back. I'm gonna write an email to him and just see what comes of it.
Yeah, cool. Let me know.
Okay, I'll call you right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work, and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So maybe you need to get your kids something special, or you and the wife need a scintillating night out, every once in a while at least. So download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N. In the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in the dossier under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Before circling back with Mac, I wanted to do some homework. Since the LAPD had never even questioned David Mac with regards to the Biggie murder, I had two files that I could look through to see how he's handled being questioned on this topic before. I had the FBI 302s from his prison interview with Phil and another FBI agent, plus his deposition from the civil suit brought by Valletta Wallace. I started with the FBI documents, and no surprise, they sound just like Phil Carson described them to me. Here are a few excerpts. This is what Carson wrote in his report, and I quote, "Mac was completely surprised when Carson sat down with him, as he had not had a visitor in the year he'd been at Talladega FCI, the federal pen. For somebody who was in solitary confinement because he was jumped by six inmates and stabbed several times at his previous location, he seemed very upbeat and happy. Mac was advised that the reason Carson was there to speak to him had nothing to do with the bank robbery, but any information he had regarding the Biggie Smalls murder."
In a nine-year career that David Mack had, I believe he was an LAPD officer for about like 9 years or something like that, only twice did he take family illness days. Once was before and, like you said, was before and after the bank robbery, and the day before and day after of the Biggie killing. Now, come to your own conclusions. Is that a coincidence? You tell me.
Carson advised Mac there are several people who have stated he's involved and he helped orchestrate the murder, and that this would be an opportunity for him to clear his name. Now, when he was asked if he had ever done off-duty work for Death Row Records or Suge Knight, Mac stated he hadn't and had never met or associated with Knight. Mac denied ever meeting Reggie Wright Jr. or ever working for Right Way Securities. When asked about his relationship with Kevin Gaines, Perez, Sammy Martin, Mac stated, "Say hi to Perez." He asked how Martin was doing and denied ever knowing or associating with Gaines. When advised that Sammy Martin wasn't doing so well, that he was looking for work, Mac stated, "It's too bad," in a very sarcastic way. Mac did add that if Carson spoke to Rafael Perez to tell him, Mac says hello. Mac was asked about his relationship with Harry Billups, aka Amir Muhammad. Mac stated he met Billups in 1979 while at the University of Oregon. Asked why Billups began going by his Muslim name, Mac stated he had just started practicing Islam and that Mac also started reading up on it. Mac stated he wasn't really good friends with Billups once he came back to LA and became an LAPD officer. Carson reminded him that Billups is the godparent to his children. Mac laughed and again avoided the question. When asked why Billups was the first person to visit him in jail after he was arrested for the bank robbery, Mac again smiled and started joking about something completely unrelated. When advised by Carson and the agents that they weren't there to tell jokes and laugh about this, that this was serious stuff and that Mac is lying about everything being talked about, Mac became very upset. After a few moments, Mac apologized and stated maybe they needed to take a 1-hour break and start over again. Carson advised Mac he had already wasted enough of his time and that the interview was going to end. Mac suddenly had a change of demeanor and began speaking freely, not necessarily telling the truth regarding his track days in college or what he planned to do when he got out. When asked if he recently heard about a murder he committed with Perez that was originally ruled a good shoot by the LAPD, that this was in the newspaper and the LAPD made a $150,000 settlement with the victim, Mac again just laughed. When asked what was so funny about this incident, he stated, LAPD is just messed up. When advised that this investigation is looking into whether the LAPD or other law enforcement agencies had any involvement with Death Row Records, and in particular, any officers working at the Peterson Automotive Museum the night Biggie was shot, Mac stated he didn't know anything regarding this. Only what he read, in particular, what former LAPD officer Russ Poole has stated, Mac said it's completely false. When asked what information he had read that is false, Mac again just laughed and smiled and avoided the question. Carson ended his report by stating, during the 2 hours I spoke with Mac, he was always making light of things, always smiling, laughing, saying he liked me and could see himself being friends with me when he gets out. Carson wrote, basically, he came across as a cold-blooded killer who could shoot you in the back with a smile on his face.
Why does anybody, let alone a police officer, have 3 silencers for guns? I'll let people read into that what they want, but is that normal? Absolutely not.
The next thing I did is I read through the deposition that was conducted by Rob Frank, one of the attorneys in the civil suit. No surprise. Mac denied anything and everything regarding his involvement in the Biggie murder or any connections to Death Row. However, one portion of the deposition definitely caught my eye. When he was questioned about his legal counsel and how it was paid for, here's what he said. Question: is it true in your criminal defense you were defended by Donald Ray? Answer by Mac. The 5th. Question: is it true your criminal defense was paid for by David Kenner? Mac again answers. The 5th. Question: is it true that Mr. Kenner received the money from Suge Knight for the defense of the criminal case brought against you? Mac answers one more time. The 5th. For those of you that are unaware, Donald Ray was part of David Kenner's legal team in the famous Snoop Dogg murder trial.
David Kenner, you know what I'm saying, put on the bomb case. Donald Ray, Marshall Morris, Paul Palladino, the whole Dream Team.
Donald Ray also represented other Death Row artists in criminal cases and even represented David Kenner himself when he ran afoul of the law. Needless to say, it's more than suspicious that when he represented Mac in the bank robbery case, Mack refused to deny that his legal defense was arranged by Kenner and paid for by Shug. All in all, though, after looking through the interviews, it became pretty apparent that coming at David Mack directly regarding the Biggie murder was a brick wall. I gave Mack a call one night as we continued our conversation.
Hello, Don.
Hey, David. How are you, sir?
I'm well. And yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. So, from a business standpoint, you know, I think there's no... I have no doubts that I can get you, you know, a deal, right? And a really good deal. I think what it... Huh?
I was just laughing at you and hand that, you know, to a really good deal. I'm like, okay.
As we continued to discuss business parameters and a potential deal, David would occasionally expand the conversation a little closer to home, including his answering a point that was disputed by Reggie Wright Jr. in season one of The Dossier, the idea that David Mack didn't grow up in Compton.
And then I think if you tell me, hey, Don, this is what I really expected or wanted in order to tell, you know, my story, because I know my story has value. It's a story that spans, you know, a very long period of time, starting in Oregon and going through, you know, my time in the LAPD, my time as it relates, you know, to your prison sentence, all of these things, right? This is a massive story.
So my question is, you say starting from Oregon, why do you cut out my childhood growing up in Compton? My adolescence, you don't think that's relevant? It's the foundation of everything.
Yes, David. I didn't mean to, like, say that wasn't something I wanted to cover. That to me, I think, arguably, you could make an argument, might be the most fascinating part of it. Let's start there. So, in growing up in Compton, Is that something that you think really defined your life or no?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I look back, I look like right now, and I think per population, that city might have some of the most talent that's ever come out.
Of course.
I'm just talking about that. Academics, I'm talking about sports,
yeah,
entertainment, just for such a small area per capita, we might have produced some of the greatest people, you know, around. Just like, damn, what is it, in the water or what?
He also confirmed something that many of us have speculated for years. The Rampart scandal was really just a cover-up of a much greater criminality inside the LAPD.
The other part of the conversation is, in telling your story, right, as it relates to Compton, as it relates to Rampart, the LAPD, the bank robbery, etc., is there anything that you won't talk about?
That I won't talk about? Interesting. I don't know. That would depends on legalities.
That's what I'm saying is like, is there anything, and obviously,
Donald, this does be a front, because you don't know me other than the image that you've read. So what has infected you or may not affect you, I don't know.
I hear you. So you'll talk about Rampart?
Of course.
Okay. You'll talk about the bank robbery?
Of course.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. That's my only concern, is that because of the federal law, you can't profit from something like that. And that's where I need to be insulated.
And I guess I will leave you with one question that I think has always sort of fascinated me, is, do you think the media as a whole got the Rampart era story wrong?
The media as a whole. Well, you gotta look at it from this perspective, I don't even know probably 75% of what was said or broadcasted because I was incarcerated at that time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would say everything that I've seen seemed like 78% of it was all hyperbolic. It was based on inferences, no facts and proof, so.
Yeah.
But I can't really say if they got it wrong.
Because you're not working from any context of having watched anything that was reported on it, etc., because you were away.
Yes, exactly. All I saw was, you know, legal documents that I was privy to when the city got sued, and I was defending myself, so I read them, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the things, allegations, this, that, blah, 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 you know. But I would say that, here's the funny thing, okay, or I shouldn't say funny thing, sad thing. I mean, Rampart was isolated, but it was no different from Southeast or 77th Division. As far as probably all the violations, corruption and all of that. So, you know, it was, I don't know, what's the word, systemic? I mean, you just, you kind of point out, they call it the Rampart Investigation, I guess that's where it started, but It was a lot.
It was systemic through the LAPD, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my name was only in it because it was synonymous with Ray Perez. So.
Yeah.
But that's your last question for the night, I don't know.
What's that, sir?
Just the last question for the night.
It's obvious that David Mack has a story to tell, and maybe that story is different from anything that anyone has ever heard about the LAPD, the Rampart scandal, and let's be honest, the homicide of Christopher Wallace. I know for sure a few things. Although the LAPD will do anything in their power to cover up the murder of Big, it still is technically an open homicide investigation, and thus, there is no statute of limitations on that crime. Everything I've done on this podcast has been to just present all the evidence that exists. And I do know that Phil Carson and his investigation is unimpeachable. It's upright. And he did a thorough investigation. I hope to find the amount of money that David Mack needs to tell his story, but I also am cautious right now. What would I be getting myself into? What would David actually say about those LAPD years? And could I ever know what the truth is? Welcome to season 2 of The Dossier. A special thanks to Richard Phillips, Kevin Connolly, Nicole Luciano, John Agonopoulos, Sergio Robledo, Brad Furman, Jess First, Zion, RJ Bond, Perry Sanders, Grace Sikorsky and Little D, and many others who have helped me to investigate, distribute, create, and release The Dossier. The Dossier is a production of Criminal Minded Media and Action Park Media.